Hello.
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 Hey, that's a one singing intro for all four of our listeners.
Yep, and some of them were even on key.
Possibly. Yeah, awesome. And you're here for episode 10 of The Dice Guys for November 12, 2011. And today on The Dice Guys, Mike and Jason talk in the third person about themselves. And they also talk about how to introduce new games to new gamers and not chase them away. They also have a feature about National Gaming Day. Did you know it was National Gaming Day, Jason?
I learned about that this morning.
Yeah, me too. Not very publicized. Mm-hmm. They also have their game picks of the week. And of course, there's always Brain Flakes. Brain Flakes that are still, after 10 shows, crunchy in milk. Although the milk's getting a little cheesy.
Yeah, I like chewy milk.
Oh, man. Trying to kill me.
So, Mike, tell us about your week.
Well, this week I didn't really do too much. I spent a lot of time in Second Life this week.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with Second Life, but it's a place where nerdy, geeky people go who have no social skills so they can have a lot of sex.
Sure seems that way.
No, actually, it's kind of a cool little meeting place. It's online, got avatars, blah, 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 blah. But basically, I DJ some music there, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that play music, and I spend a lot of time listening to, you know, music from people. And there's some people that were doing new gigs, so I kind of went there to support them.
Hey, you can play board games in Second Life.
Well, that was what I was going to bring up. There's a lot of board games and dice games and other things in Second Life. You can meet people from all over the world and play games with them right there in Second Life. You know, like it's like you're sitting at a board game table. And I'm going to go over that someday soon here in the podcast or online on our website. But until then, the only other thing I did this week that mainly is related to the podcast and the game site was the Google Plus page.
Yay!
Google Plus finally opened up its business brand pages, and I created one before mm-hmm. you got to.
Yes, thank you for that, Mike. Because that left me to try and do the Facebook page,
yes.
Which ended up being a colossal process that I decided wasn't worth it.
Well, you know, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, we're not that fond of Facebook. I don't think that we've made it a secret that we're not that fond of Facebook to begin with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to try and make it without having a presence on Facebook.
For right now.
For the moment. Yeah. If we decide it's necessary, maybe we'll hire somebody to do it.
With our massive amounts of cash.
Yes, yes. So, well, we'll pay them in Twinkies or some Dr. Pepper or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we always manage to find money for Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yes, yes.
But anyway, the only other thing I've done this week is I posted an article to the website. I mentioned my Minecraft addiction last week, and this is a little article kind of going into that a little bit to try and purge some of it. Didn't work, of course. I'm still addicted. But, you know, there it is. Go read it if you like Minecraft or giant mushrooms.
Yeah.
Which will be explained if you read the article. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
What can you eat other than mushrooms, Jason? Brain flakes?
Yeah, brain flakes. Brain flakes. Oh, yeah, it's time for brain flakes.
Brain flakes?
Let's first talk about, we've talked about using games for educational purposes before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's talk about this cool new thing that they're doing for learning the dead language of Latin.
Latin, a dead language.
Yeah.
At least amongst most people.
Yeah. So. Yeah, unless you go into the medical or legal profession or something. Yeah, science. Okay.
But to actually speak it as a language, kind of dead.
Kind of dead.
Mm-hmm.
But there are reasons to learn it.
Yep.
And so this teacher, I think around high school, 10th grade is what they were saying?
Yes, 10th grade.
Has created a way to turn learning the introductory level of learning Latin into a game.
Yeah. Basically, it looks like it's an adventure game, a role-playing game,
mm-hmm.
an adventure game kind of based in a forum format. So you go on, you have a character, you play a role as a Roman in the reconstruction of ancient Pompeii, or even in ancient Rome, depending on the setting. And the goal is to learn to think and act and create and write as if you were a Roman.
Right.
So rather than thinking in English and then turning it into Latin, they want you to think in Latin. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to help you do that.
Right. It slowly introduces more and more Latin into it as you go along, and you respond in Latin to get your character to do things, solve puzzles, find what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And you receive experience points and rewards and stuff like that in class.
And they've got some information here in this article we were looking at from students saying that at first they thought the teacher was crazy.
Yeah.
And then once they got into it, it was a lot of fun. And one of them said that, you know, they had taken Spanish for 4 years and didn't learn as much in Spanish classes as they did taking this class for 2 months.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome. Because of
the way they learned it, yeah.
Yeah, the power of gaming is incredible, and there are more and more studies coming out all the time to show that.
Yeah.
So, really love the idea of this. We learned about it on Mindshift. So, Mindshift.
KQED.org, I think it's a PBS network.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it's a really cool idea. Go take a look at it if it seems interesting to you.
And we'll have links to it and to the actual Operation Lapis or whatever that they call it on our website. But you can find out more about how they're learning Latin in some schools right now. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Last week we talked about libraries.
Yes.
So continuing the education thing here.
Okay. What we specifically said about libraries is that they're kind of like, they're going to have to reinvent themselves, just like brick and mortar stores are going to have to reinvent themselves to compete with online shopping.
Mm-hmm.
National libraries are going to have to reinvent themselves to draw people in and still be useful to the community.
And you found somebody on Google Plus who fit right into that, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he was a homegrown boy from Oklahoma, apparently.
Seems like.
From what we can tell. He at least spent some time here.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Donald Dennis. And so look him up on Google Plus if you're interested.
Yep. But he works at the Georgetown County Public Library System in South Carolina now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He does. And they have what they call the Bytes program. And that basically is a program of games. It's video games, board games, dice games, card games. They have that they do every week.
Mm-hmm.
They are promoting gaming and community gatherings, and it's just really cool. They have a game design group that they do. It's just, there are a massive number of things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
All designed to get the community involved and socializing through games.
Yeah. And there's another part of the program, which I thought was pretty cool, is that they have nights where you can come in and they have professionals that are there to teach you how to do video editing, photo editing, audio editing. And the computers are there, so you don't have to bring your own computer. You don't have to have a computer. If you don't have one, just come to the library and learn how to do something.
And this is something different. You can do. It's not going to cost you anything. You know, you're going to go to the library. You're going to learn from these professionals. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you normally have to pay big bucks for.
Yeah. But here it is at a community center, the library.
And just showing up, they provide rewards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like door prize kind of things, I guess. Gift certificates to Walmart, that sort of thing. You know, it's a great community service, and this is exactly what we were talking about. Obviously, they've been doing it longer than we mentioned about it.
Yeah, but it's a growing thing now because we're seeing more and more individual events. This is a large event that he's made, and you know he's made an entire section of the library basically that does this on a weekly basis, at least if not multiple days a week, due to you know one day being you know tutorials on how to use a computer and one day being family game night. So yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I'm going to go to my local library and talk to them about connecting with this guy and see what they can do to set the sort of thing up here.
Yeah, if it's not set up here, we're going to get it set up here for sure. And you should go to your libraries and see if it has something like this. And if not, get it set up, because this brings people in the libraries and
we need to shows save our libraries.
Shows something else that you can use them for. They're not just a place to store old dusty books.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Okay, and so now I think it's time to move on to
science.
Science.
Yeah, of course, you know, if this science goes wrong, we won't have any libraries.
Yeah, we won't have anything. So you know, this ought to be awesome. More of the European Union death machine.
What is it with Europe wanting to kill us with super colliders making black holes, and this?
Yeah, now, to be fair, this is all just stuff that people worried about. You know, worried that the collider was going to create a black hole.
Oh, no, no. This one, they actually want to do this.
This one, they actually want to tear a hole in space-time. They're building a laser complex to tear a hole in space. The place where we live.
This doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good. I mean, their ultimate goal, what they believe is going to happen, is that they're going to discover
quantum particles,
maybe access extra dimensions.
Now,
you know, that now,
I'm going to stop you right there. I've played Call of Cthulhu. And I don't want to access extra dimensions, okay?
It always ends up in dynamite death.
Dynamite, blowing up a mountaintop and killing the whole party, okay? I do not want to access extra dimensions like that.
Yeah.
But these guys apparently do, and they think they're going to find the answer to dark matter or something.
So far, nothing they've done has ended up being as bad as everybody thinks it's going to be. But, I mean, everything that they try to do is potentially universe ending.
You know, if you keep
trying
it.
Universe ending. Think about that.
If you keep trying it,
eventually
you're going to
get it right.
And we're all screwed.
Yeah. So maybe it's the weather. Maybe they're just depressed. I don't know. But at some point, somebody's probably going to have to step in and say, guys, think about what you're doing.
Their economy's pretty bad with it. They might be having a death wish.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's always possible.
Yeah, so stop it, okay? Just
please,
just, you know, find something else to examine, like you know, cheese curdling or something, you know,
something innocuous that isn't going to like end life as we know it.
just please.
But okay, let's talk about something that they can occupy their time with, okay? And we will go with your game pick of the week.
My game pick of the week.
They can occupy their time with your game pick of the week.
They can occupy a lot of time with my game pick of the week, because my game pick of the week is Faxon 5.
Yeah, that doesn't really exist anymore.
Well, yeah. It doesn't really.
It does.
Okay, well, I'll get into that. It's kind of the forebearer of Scattergories.
Right.
Okay. And basically, Faxon 5 was created back in 1967 by 3M Company. Mm-hmm. For their Bookshelf game series. And then the Bookshelf game series was eventually bought out by Avalon Hill, which is where I got it.
I think that's the version we played, was the Avalon Hill one.
And then that was bought out by Hasbro, and Hasbro basically said, I don't want to do it. So it reverted back to the designer, and he now sells it through University Games. I think it was originally at a good price, but now it's a collectible, so it's $85 or something like that.
And okay, we've talked about the value of games before, and as long as you get quality pieces and stuff like that, we can see spending more money. Yeah,
not sure about $85.
I'm not sure about $85 for Faxon 5.
Yeah.
I mean, a great game,
but let me go into what the game is, and then and then you can decide if you want to find a copy on eBay or something like that. Got to be careful on eBay because pieces may be missing. Be careful. Or you might go ahead and just buy Scattergories. And Scattergories is very, very close to it. Faxon 5 basically puts you with cards that have categories on them. and it comes with letter chips that have letters or a wild card on them. It has a score sheet or category sheets, basically a grid. And you pick letters and put them down the side. You pick categories and you put them across the top. And then you have a timer that's 5 minutes, facts in five, okay? And you fill in the squares. And you fill in the squares.
Using the letters as your beginning beginning letter of your words.
And after 5 minutes is up, everybody passes their sheet to the left and that person scores it. Sometimes you have to discuss because people don't know whatever you wrote down, because you have to convince them that it really is an answer.
Or in the case of Mike, somebody has to decipher his handwriting.
Yeah. And, you know, at that point, I can just make up other things because they can't read my handwriting anyway.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So
it's like now that I've had time to think about it.
but basically, everyone that's right, you get some points for, and whoever has the most points wins that round. And you go several rounds. I don't remember exactly what this thing. Yeah. You can change it around. Doesn't really matter. But it's a really good general knowledge game. I love it. And
The closest you're going to get to it nowadays, like you've mentioned, is Scattergories.
Mm-hmm. Scattergories is a little bit different because you have a lot more category cards.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot. You have the letters, and instead of filling in a grid, you just kind of pick three items, I think. It's been a while since I've done Scattergories.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the closest to this game, and it's still a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So that's my pick. Facts in Five, if you can find it, or Scattergories. It's a good family game, good general knowledge game. One cool thing about this game is you can kind of change the categories around. So if you have a mix of older and younger players, you can pick things like Disney movies instead of what's on the card. And that way it can help out younger players or something like that.
That's true.
So
you can play with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And so Facts in Five or Scattergories. I'll have a link to probably both of them on the website so you can figure out which one you want to try to pick up. And that's it.
Okay, let's talk about National Gaming Day.
National Gaming Day. I had no clue there was a National Gaming Day.
You know, this is being done by libraries. Again, this is our library episode, apparently, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1,200 libraries around the world.
Mm-hmm. It's become...
This is the 4th annual National Gaming Day. Now, this tells you something, that two guys who love games so much, this is the first they've heard about it. And love libraries. This is the first we've heard about this, and they've been doing this. This will be the 4th year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's some people in promotions that really need to get their act together.
Yeah. The American Library Association put out a press release on this on like October 24th.
Mm-hmm. Was the first one.
So
that
it's
we
about
found.
3 weeks, about 3 weeks ago, but it really didn't tell a lot of information. The next information that comes out is really around October 31st.
Right.
So, and then Wired had an article a few days, like the 4th.
And it had the day wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because National Gaming Day is today, guys.
It's today.
And as soon as you get done listening to this podcast, I mean, don't run out yet. Finish listening to the podcast. But then
please finish listening.
Yeah, all four of you, please, sit where you are, listen to the podcast, then run to your local library.
Wait. Leave a comment, then run to your library.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, we'd
please.
Like to know you're out there listening.
We'd like to know you're there. And so run to your library and take part in National Gaming Day. Now, this is really cool, guys. They're going to have not only traditional games like chess, checkers, that sort of thing, but they're going to have a lot of more modern games. They're also going to have video games.
Mm-hmm.
There's some controversy at the moment about whether there's going to be a video game tournament or not.
Yep. Yeah,
which we'll bring up in just a second.
Yeah.
This is a great way to socialize with people in your area that you may not realize are gamers.
Yeah.
This is a great way for people who aren't gamers to get introduced to it. So, yay!
Yeah. So, Wired says that they have a video game tournament going on for two games that will actually be linked nationwide or internationally even this time for Rock Band and Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Right.
So, and Now, we couldn't exactly verify that through the ALA information.
Yeah, the ALA actually has, I mean, they mentioned that they'll have video games present, but they do not say anything about a tournament. Mm-hmm. They do not mention specific games.
Yeah.
And so we're not sure where Wired's getting their information on this.
Yeah.
Especially because it didn't come from the source.
And especially since they got the date wrong. It's not the 13th, yeah. It's the 12th.
So that's a little questionable. But somebody has really taken this information and run with it.
They have.
Yes. And once again, third week in a row, I'm going to try and control myself to keep from getting our explicit tag. It's going to be very difficult Mike may blow it this time.
I might. I mean, this kind of stuff really makes me angry. It's made me angry since the 80s.
Yeah.
When this kind of stuff was coming out about D&D and Satanists. Mm-hmm. And basically, this guy is demonizing games the same way. It's just that he has a PhD attached to his name, and it makes it sound all googly moogly.
And he has an agenda.
He does have an agenda. Okay. It's very clear.
So let's just go ahead and run down the list here. An article in Psychology Today.
A pillar of the psychological journals.
Yeah. He says that National Gaming Day is sending the wrong message.
Yeah.
Because it's not talking about video game addiction.
Now, this was actually published on November 14th of last year.
Yeah, they had a tournament then. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Well, you know, maybe, but I don't think so either. You know, and it was still board games, card games, some video games. It was a lot more than just video games.
Right.
So,
and the focus is not video games. It's gaming in general. It's the socializing aspect of gaming.
The socializing aspect of gaming is something that we push so much on here. Right. They're trying to bring people to the library to bring the social element back into even video games, much less the board games and the others that they'll have there at the event.
He specifically mentions in his article about WoW, World of Warcraft, and all the awful addiction stories associated with it. And then, you know, you compare that to the idea of Rock Band or Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Yeah. It's a totally different experience.
It is not outside of the realm of conceivability that somebody could get addicted to one of these games, because you can get addicted to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come on. This guy, okay, let's explain his agenda to these folks real quick.
Well, we can tell his agenda just by reading the title of his thing. His name is, by the way, Ryan G. Van Cleve, PhD.
Uh-huh.
And the title of his piece in Psychology Today is
Unplugged, My Journey into the Dark World of Video Game Addiction.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he writes an article about how libraries, which are going to have video games as well as a bunch of other games, are not servicing the community because they're not out there preaching the dangers of video game addiction. Video game addiction is a serious problem, guys. We're not denigrating it at all. We're not trying to downplay it. But it is a very small percentage of gamers that have detrimental effects because of this.
Yeah. The thing is, he talks in his article about alcoholism and other things that are addictive. And the point here is that you don't go to a wine tasting festival and get preached to about alcoholism.
Hmm.
You don't go to any other thing and get, you know, vent and get preached to about
addiction.
You don't
go to your dealer and hear about how doing cocaine is a horrible thing.
That's right. So it's the same thing here.
That may not have helped our argument.
I don't know. But the thing is here, you don't go to a board game family night and expect that you're going to get preached to about video game addiction.
Well, I tell you right now, as a gamer, I walk into an organization to play games, and I've got somebody up there telling me about how dangerous it is. I don't want to be there.
No, that's
this is the wrong kind of attitude. I've just been hijacked.
Yeah, and that, you know, and that's not the whole point of the event. If you want to have a video game addiction seminar next door to the game event, sure, go for it.
Sure,
you'll have about two people there, and they'll both be drunk.
I tell you what, Mr. Van Cleve.
Yes.
why don't you put your book in the library? Why don't you ask librarians, hey, if you're going to hold this event, will you put my book on display?
There you go.
Okay. Librarians are more than happy to do that. It's associated to with what's going on in the event. Sure. Exactly. Why not? We'll put this up there for you.
Yeah. But obviously this piece that he wrote is a puff piece for his freaking book.
It's just advertisement because for his book. That's all it is.
You can, and here it is published back here, back in November 14, 2010. It says in the article at the end that the book is about to be published. It's forthcoming. He's pushing his book.
He right before care. Publication, yeah.
And he didn't even do really any backstory, back investigation on this thing because he only talks about video games. He doesn't even mention the fact that there's other games there.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, he just tells horror stories about China and South Korea and the video game addiction problem there. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, Psychology Today, you're on our list.
We will be sending you an email.
Probably about this. It's a little late for this article, but because of the ongoing annual event, yeah. It's timely.
It's showing up in the searches when you search for this for National Gaming Day. So it's still popping up. I'm sure they're getting hits on this article.
And we want to make sure that our side is pushed on this because this guy is just pushing his piece.
Yeah.
So, you know,
this is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Speaking of people with overinflated egos that suck, Vampire Strahd resides in Castle Ravenloft, which is my game pick of the week.
Yeehaw, gosh, naked.
Castle Ravenloft is an awesome game.
Yep.
It does not suck, even though the vampire inside of it does.
You know, it'd probably be a much scarier game with psychologists in it than vampires.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're scary little people. But anyway, okay.
We just lost one of our listeners.
Yeah, probably. Castle Ravenloft. Great game put out by Wizards of the Coast. This is one of the slightly more expensive games, but not as much as like a version of Facts of Five.
Facts of Five.
No, it was like a $65 game. It may be down to $50 now.
Oh, okay.
It's a tile game. You build the board as you play by drawing tiles. The cool thing about Castle Ravenloft is the fact that there are different scenarios. So you don't play the same game twice necessarily. And you get to choose your character from five characters that are in the game. And it runs on 4th edition rules, which runs so much better with a board game than they do the role-playing game. That could piss some people off.
It really is. I mean, the 4th edition rules for D&D really do fit the board game format well.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing for the board game. We loved playing as Castle Ravenloft using 4th edition rules.
Yes.
The mechanics are amazing for it.
Yes. Which, you know, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we could get into that a lot later.
But
anyway, I mean, it introduces mechanics like for Castle Ravenloft. There are several games based off of this little game engine. The newest one being The Legend of Drizzt.
Mm-hmm.
That's recently come out? Yes, recently came out.
This month.
And I'm looking forward to trying that one. But in this one, you know, you have like a sun tracker so that if the sun sets while you're playing the game, Strahd wakes up and stalks you through the dungeon. And I mean, every time we've played this game, every single time that we've played this game, it has been a nail-biting, tension-driven, can we succeed before everybody dies kind of situation. Mm-hmm. It is a blast.
Yeah, like that first game that we played where we were trying to get out of the dungeon.
Yeah, you wake up in the dungeon.
Yeah, and Strahd is coming at you at one point. And he was on our tail as we're running for the entrance. We all are sitting on the entrance tile.
When Strahd comes up.
Yeah, and trying to get out up the stairs before he got us. And actually made it in this case. But
through sheer luck.
Yeah.
Sheer luck. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was like watching a chase scene in a movie. It was fantastic. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, and the mechanics work really well for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So Castle Ravenloft's good pick.
Yeah, that it's a blast. Just what? So you know, you get tons and tons of miniatures.
Yeah, little plastic miniatures.
All different kinds of creatures, including a Draco Lich, which is really awesome. I don't feel like the Draco Lich is used properly in the game,
mm-hmm.
because you never get to fight him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a scenario out there. I'll need to look online. They have other scenarios online,
yeah.
where maybe that's a possibility. But you start out low enough level that that's probably not wise. But anyway. this is a great game, guys. I cannot recommend this one highly enough. It is longer than most of our picks.
Yes.
We tend to like shorter games, and this one...
Just the setup time alone is probably about 15 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes just for setup. That's after you know the game. Before you know the game, you're probably looking at a good 30, 40-minute setup.
Yeah, because learning all the pieces, trying to figure out where they might go to save them for when you need to use them.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff to punch out and all that kind of good stuff. But once you know it, 15, 20-minute setup time, then you're looking at like probably on the longer scenarios, hour and a half, 2 hours of game time.
Yeah.
Which kind of depends not on horrible, scenario. Not horrible compared to some games which last 3 days, but still longer than our normal game. But still, I'll blast through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Total joy to play.
Yep. So, would you say this game is good for someone who's starting out playing games, has never really played these kind of games before? Would Castle Ravenloft be one to start them on?
Yes and no. Basically, if you're sitting there and you're just reading the rules to them,
yeah.
A game like Castle Ravenloft, that there are so many rules. I mean, you're basically having to teach them a basic version of 4th edition rules.
Mm-hmm.
If you just start reading the rule book to them, they're just gonna, their eyes are going to glaze over. They're going to start thinking about other things. Mm-hmm. They may run from the room screaming.
They might run because it's Dungeons. You're teaching them Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. They don't want to learn Dungeons and Dragons. They came to play a board game.
They came to play a board game, and they may have been indoctrinated into the idea that role-playing games are evil.
Well, they certainly, you know, will get you, you know, killed or something, according to Dr. What's-His-Face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, because they might, they're a gateway drug to video games, and then you'll be addicted, and then, you know, anyway. Sorry. anyway, yeah, the idea is that you just start playing, man.
Yeah, yeah. We did that a lot when we were first starting. We would... Somebody might know the rules of the game. The rest of the people don't know the rules of the game. Rather than going through the entire rule book, normally we wouldn't do that. We would just sit the board out, and whoever knew the game would teach the other players.
Running them through a round or two of the game.
Yeah. And then you would start the game over. Yeah. So, and start the game over from the beginning and go from the beginning and kind of learn more rules as you go. Of course, sometimes people take advantage of that. You got to watch out for those kind of people. But the people that don't take advantage of that it's the best way to learn how to play.
Without scaring people off.
Yeah, it works a lot better for people who, like, we were all gamers, but people who had never really played a game before, rather than sitting around listening to you recite through rules in the rule book, they can start playing the game.
Right, absolutely. And people find out that, yeah, all those long rules and examples and all these little stickly rules for specific situations, they're really not that daunting when you're just playing the game. It's a lot easier playing it than just hearing the rules read to you.
Yeah, and I wish she was here. We were talking to one of our friends earlier today, and she was actually interested in this. She was saying how if... She was just being read the rules at one time, and her eyes were glazing over. She's not a gamer. She's never played any games. Like she just played Yahtzee for the first time, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, not too long ago. Yeah.
So, you know, she's really new at any game, and she doesn't really like listening to all the rules be spouted off to her. She really likes to get in there and learn to play.
Yeah, she's played the Adventurer's Pyramid of Horus now and stuff like that. And just playing the game, she had a blast.
Yeah.
Hearing the rules, she wanted to go do something else.
Yeah, she got scared. She thought there was too many rules. She'd never learned them.
Right.
But when you play the game and learn how the rules kind of apply at certain points, so you don't have to know them all at the same time, works out fine. So...
All right. So that was teaching new games to new gamers. and not scaring the crap out of them.
Don't scare the crap out of them.
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to read more about that or catch up on any other thing we talked about here in today's podcast, always go to www.thediceguys.com. You mm-hmm. can read things. You'll see the links on the show notes here. If you want to leave us at, send us an email, just send it to dicebag@thediceguys.com. You can also leave comments on the articles. We always read any of the comments.
And we appreciate any comments that you have.
Mm-hmm. You might not know it. We use the Discuss engine on that, but you can log in with Facebook, OpenID, several other things. You don't have to have mm-hmm. a Discuss account. You just select it from the pop-up there and leave Absolutely. Your comment. So,
and until next week.
Until next week.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. Oh, man. Trying to kill me.